Exciting day here in the Pacific Northwest and on the radio as well. We're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints. It's Investigative News Radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, it's Between the Covers, and today host David Naiman speaks with writer Maggie Nelson about her book, The Argonauts, a memoir offering fresh, fierce, and timely thinking about desire, identity, and the limitations and possibilities of love and language. Stick around, though. Up next, it is Air Cascadia. Chris Andre with headlines, interviews, and commentary coming right up on KBOO. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
You are about to cross the border.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, July 30th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up, 15 minutes of news, comment, and jiggery pokery. Here we go. We have got Jenga Soderbergh, the PM News and Public Affairs Director here at KBOO, out at the bridge. The Greenpeace activists are up there. They have, in fact, turned back the Fenica. Let's remember that Shell Oil is more powerful than governments. We know this because what it's doing in the Arctic should, by all measures, legal, ethical, moral, this should not have been allowed in the first place. But Shell is larger than law and order. It's larger than nations and governments. And it is so used to doing what it wants, regardless of safety considerations. It can have multiple accidents, multiple incidents that have endangered and destroyed what is the heritage of everyone on planet Earth, and yet they go away scot-free every time. They're about to do it again. There is a so-called 75% chance of an accident drilling in the Arctic. We all know that. It's been in the news. It's been in the New York Times. It's an unavoidable fact, and that number is probably, they're lowballing it. We have right now Cassidy Sharp, who is with Greenpeace and has been steadfast in reporting on this. Good morning, Cassidy. Thanks for joining us today on Air Cascadia.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you right now?
I'm under the St. John's Bridge in Cathedral Park.
And so this is an extraordinary event. The Fenica has, in fact, been turned back. I understand the St. John's Bridge is open again. Can you give us a report on what you're actually seeing and what's happening right at the moment?
Sure. So right now, the activists are still suspended from the bridge. They're in great spirits and taking a lot of interviews and covering on social media. They'll probably take a rest soon after their dramatic morning. And then there's a lot of people from shore who are cheering them on and have been here all morning. If you're in Portland, come out and cheer them on. And that's what I'm seeing right now. And the Seneca has gone back to the dry dock, so it is not in sight.
The message being, of course, leave fossil fuels where they belong, in the ground. We recently had an engineer talking about thermodynamics and the heat energy exchange upon which the Earth has depended for lo these millions of years. That is beginning to break down because of the shell may be able to avoid the national laws, but nobody can avoid the laws of thermodynamics. And right now we are seeing the disastrous effects. And so the FedEx has been turned around. What happens next? They're staying up there, I understand.
Yes, they are. So I don't know what Shell's next move is, but these activists are prepared to stay and to block Shell as long as they are possible. And that was what they went to bed last night, knowing that the vessel could leave this morning. And that's what happened. So yeah, they are prepared to stay up there.
And listen up, everybody, because the more people in the water, the more people out there, the longer that the activists can stay up on the bridge and the longer we prevent the Fenica from moving. It's essential that this thing is prevented from moving. We have also Cassidy. I wondered if you could join us. I wonder if we could invite Jenka Soderberg, the PM News and Public Affairs Director, to join us as well.
Thanks, Chris.
Sorry,
I am sitting here at Cathedral Park, and I just want to let people know that there is a call out from the climate activists here for people to come to Cathedral Park and support the both the rappellers who are hanging from the St. John's Bridge and the kayak activists. And there's about 30 out on the water right now that are trying to support this action to keep the Seneca from leaving. The Seneca, as you heard, already had to turn around this morning and return to port. So the activists are calling for people to come down here to support this action.
So, Cassidy, more on the message that is being sent here. I think that the general public is a little cloudy on some of the essential points. How best do you think we can get the message out that this drilling must not be allowed to happen, and we have come down to the line of whatever it takes to stop it. What do you figure is the best way to make sure that this message is heard loud and clear? Either one, Jenko or Cassidy, please feel free.
Well, I'll just say something real quick, and the person who really needs to hear this message from this growing movement to stop Shell and to protect the Arctic and to have some real climate action is President Obama, quite honestly. So he, at any moment, can choose to do the right thing and cancel Shell's lease to drill in the Arctic, and that's who we really hope is listening right now.
So another way of getting the attention there, of course, is you can call the White House, you can leave a message, you can jam the lines completely by you absolutely flooding the White House call center with demands that this be stopped. And let's find out. It should be interesting to see whether, in fact, the President of the United States has as much power as Shell Oil. We'll find that out very soon. So this is either one of you want to describe the equipment that the Fenica has that is essential to, I guess when the disaster happens, it's it'd be important to try to cap this thing. But if they're going down, drilling straight down and then at a right angle, I don't see how they're going to cap it. Does anyone want to weigh in on that?
There has been the argument made that and there was a Nature magazine article that had a study that if there were to be a spill in the Arctic, that it's essentially uncappable. So the equipment that they have that's required to be on board, the cap that was a regulation put in place after the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster, that all ships doing this kind of drilling need to have this cap in order to begin their drilling process. It's not clear that that would actually work in the Arctic. And I actually have Carlo here, who's an activist who's been going out in the kayak, who can talk more about why he came out.
That would be great. I do want to toss out a question for anybody who wants to talk about this, and that is, who is responsible for this? When the inevitable happens, who in fact is it? Would it go up to Obama? Who is responsible for signing all those, what must be incredible number of documents saying, yeah, go ahead, sure enough, sounds like a great idea. I'd like to know that. If anyone knows, then I'd be interested in hearing it on the air. But Carlos, right now, let's hear it from you.
This is Carlo Voli here with the show No Flotilla. And yeah, ultimately, President Obama is the one who can stop this craziness. Like you say, you know, it's very clear that it's totally extremely risky. And you cannot clean up the Arctic, and it should not be allowed. And,
Cassidy, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
I wanted to ask you to talk, you and Carlos both, anyone who, and Jenka too, some of the legal issues here, because I have been asking about maritime law and how something, a venture like this, can possibly be legal. Well, I'm sure that they've got everything rigged as far as environmental concerns and all that. But I would imagine that maritime law would be very clear on the subject, and that this would not be allowed, not permitted. It's simply unsafe for so many reasons. Apart from the environment, the people working on with this equipment is extreme. We know that from the Deepwater Horizon. How can this be legal by any standard? Anyone?
I can answer that a little bit. I mean, Shell is a huge company, and billions of dollars can certainly get you pretty far in this world. And I think that that's what they're depending on, quite honestly. But they're realizing right now that, people from all over the country are growing this movement, and they're the ones who are really going to be standing in the way between Shell and Arctic Oil.
So, Jenka, down there, who else is down there as far as media is concerned? Are you seeing any other, national affiliates, local stations out there reporting? Anybody seen any other any reporters there from other news outlets or any media outlets? Hi, hello. Anyone? Cassidy?
Yeah, no. I not that I can see from where I'm standing or what I've seen this morning.
Nobody else. Just Kabu. Well, another question for you. How long have you been out there today?
I got the text alert and got here around 8:30. So I missed most of the action earlier today, but I've been involved with this since Thursday, since the Fenica arrived on very, very early Saturday morning. We went out on the water, and a few kayaktivists and welcomed it. Got into the dry dock and held some signage. So, yeah, and then we had the powerful flotilla on Saturday.
So there's still, this isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. Anyone can come down there. If you have a kayak, bring it. If you've got any kind of boat that you can come out and do it. We're going to ask the engineer to try to reach Christina Flores, a Greenpeace activist who's up on one of those platforms hanging off from the bridge. Let's see if we can get Christina Flores on the line for just a quick word about what it's like being up there after spending a night up off the bridge. And Carlos, stay with us. I want to hear more from you on what your next plan is. How long do you plan to be out there?
Yes. Are you asking me now?
Yeah. How long do you plan to be out there?
I plan to be out here till this whole story is finishes here in Portland. You know, till the Fenica is able to, at some point, leave town.
They're not going to. It's the longer the Fenica stays in place, the more national media is forced to cover the story, and covering the story, of course, means they have to consider the message. Any final thought from you, Carlos, because it's time for us to close up. So your final ideas, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I am surprised there's not more national media here. You know, in Seattle, there was media from all around the world. And, ask everybody who's got a kayak, who's had some free time to come and join us here in the water. We're going to need a lot of numbers.
Hang on a minute. We're out of time here. I just want to mention also that the warming of the Columbia River water is the other parallel huge issue. This is, of course, human-caused, and I do want to underline that when I say human-caused, I mean mainly white the colonizers, not the native First Nations peoples. The Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla are suffering greatly because of crimes again committed against their people. First Nations are the ones that are harmed by the white interests that have created the problem in the first place. The warming of the river, it's virtually irreversible. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, July 30th, 2015. Engineering for today is